Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in the Navy, it seemed like we were always and forever training. I started out in Pensacola at AOCS, and they taught us how to run and swim and do all kinds of things the Navy way. Then I moved over to VT-10, where we learned basic flight procedures. And then I was transferred down to Corpus Christi, Texas, to the Advanced Navigation School there. Well, it was advanced in those days. It wouldn't be so advanced for the navigation that we have today. And then I went to a couple of other places to be trained on some other things, and I ended up in VP-31, which was in Moffett Field down in the Bay Area. And it was there that I learned how to navigate the P-3C and how to use that aircraft and crew to find submarines. But I was not finished with my training yet. When I got to my final squadron, they were deployed to Adak, Alaska, and I still had some more training to go to be certified as a navigator communicator on that airplane. But then there's always the next position to move up to, and there's always another crew being formed, and so we were always going through training. We were getting ready. Training is important for our military. Military units don't have time to say, "Oh, there's the bell, I guess we better get ready." When the alarm goes off, the military needs to be ready to go right then, at that time. And so there's a great deal of training that we go through. Abraham Lincoln, talking on the subject of training and getting ready, said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening my axe." Well, all of this might seem like a far cry from the texts that we read today. In the Old Testament, we hear the story of Gideon. Gideon had been called by God to drive the Midianites out of the area. And so he goes through a process of being reassured and doubting that God's going to help him. And he finally gathers 20,000 men. And now he thinks he's ready to attack the Midianites. But God says, "No, that's too many. You don't need 20,000 men. And so they send some of the people home who are frightened. Now there's 10,000 left. And God says, "Still, that's too many. You don't need that many people. If you have that many people, you're going to think that you drove the Midianites out based on what you did and your power and strength. And that's not how I want that done." And so they go through another process of watching people drink, whether they get down like a dog and lap the water or whether they cup their hands. And as a result of that process, Gideon has only 300 men left. And so God says, "Now here's what I want you to do. When it's dark, I want you to surround the Midianites, and I want you to start fires and make noise with all of the equipment that you have, with cymbals and shouting." And they did that. And the Midianites, being ancient people, were afraid. And they got so afraid they began to run, and in the process they began to even attack each other. And they ran away and were driven out of the land with just 300 men. And then also in the gospel, we hear Jesus remind us that there's going to be wars and rumors of war up until the very last day. And so we think about that today because Jesus says, "This must happen." In the epistle lesson today, Paul talks about a different kind of war. Not a war where we are at war with other people, but he talks about a spiritual war. We don't think about it very much. We live in a world of the church militant. We are at war. It is more like spiritual warfare. But is still warfare just the same? It is kind of an us against them situation. In our text, Paul puts it this way. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So let me ask you, if we are in battle, are you ready? Are you ready for spiritual battles? Are you ready for what might face you this week? Are you ready for the battles that you might fight against Satan's in the coming month and in the coming years? Do you have a plan that will sustain you on the spiritual battlefield? Do you have the hope and the confidence to face the future? Now, I realize this doesn't sound much like a Lutheran sermon. Lutherans don't talk about spiritual warfare very much. They kind of leave that territory to the Pentecostals. And it might seem like a far cry from Armed Forces Sunday. But let's see if there's not maybe a comparison. Paul is saying that we are at war with Satan. Is Satan and his cronies that are out to get us, to lead us astray? And because of that, we need to be truly ready. To be ready, we need to train. To be ready, we need to have a battle plan. The problem is that we don't seem to be able to defend ourselves. Satan and the world and our human flesh are just more powerful than we are. And so we cannot win that battle alone. We need someone to come and help us and be on our side and reassure us and be there with us and be there for us. Like in the old Western movies, we need the cavalry to come running into the valley and help us and to save us from the enemy. But whence cometh the Calvary? So here we are, weak and not capable of caring for ourselves. If Satan can overcome us with his repeated temptations, and our own human nature can be against us and lead us astray, where do we turn for help? Who is there with us? Who's going to help? Where is the Calvary? Paul is writing to the Ephesians in our text for today, and he's writing from prison, and he's offering the Ephesians some comfort and some instruction. And he concludes his letter with the words of our epistle lesson for today. Finally, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Paul is reminding us that indeed we cannot overcome Satan by ourselves. We must rely on God and the strength of his power and his might and not on ourselves. In verse 13, Paul repeats himself. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil of the day. And having done all of that, to stand firm. When you're in battle, standing firm is important. Backing up is admitting defeat. It is important that we can stand firm against Satan and his ways. And so Paul uses the example of a Roman soldier to kind of drive that point home. He talks about the belt of truth. The belt that a Roman soldier had around his waist actually protected his waist and his all the way down to his knees. And then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate would cover his upper torso. And then Paul says, put on the armor or the helmet of salvation. And that helmet that Roman soldiers wore was over top of their head. It even had pieces that come around to protect their face. And then he goes on to say, put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Those shoes would protect his feet and allow him to run or to move over rough and rocky ground. And finally, he says, take up the shield of faith. It was a big shield that they used to protect themselves from the arrows that were shot at them by the enemy. Some people have made a big deal out of making a strong connection between each one of these parts of the armor of a Roman soldier and their spiritual counterparts. Well, maybe that's true, but what I want you to really appreciate is that Roman soldier that Paul is using as an example, was his whole person was covered. His torso was covered, he had a helmet on, he had shoes on his feet, and he had a shield to protect himself. He was totally protected. With those spiritual elements that Paul is talking about, that gives us the ability to defend ourselves from the spiritual attacks of Satan. We all need to know the truth of God's love and salvation. We need to have faith, which makes us righteous before God. And it is with faith and righteousness that comes that peace that surpasses all understanding. But there's one more thing that a Roman soldier had at his disposal. You'll notice that the previous parts that Paul talks about were all defensive. They covered him, the Roman soldier, from the arrows that flew at him. But there's one more thing that Paul talks about. And that is the sword of the Spirit. It's the only weapon that the Roman soldier had that was both defensive and offensive. You see, God doesn't just call us to hunker down and play defense. He calls us to use that sword of His Word, to use it in offense. The sword of the Roman soldier was a two-edged sword. It could strike out and it could also protect. In his wilderness experience, Jesus used that sword of God's word to defend and defeat Satan's ridiculous false promises. And God continues to give us His word to pierce the devil when he comes, to protect us from the world and from our own sinful flesh. With the sword of His word, as Luther so boldly proclaims, one little word can fell him. With just one word from God's word, Satan can be defeated. God has given us a piece of equipment, of armor that is both defensive and offensive in our spiritual warfare. There are indeed those who continue to doubt God's word, but not us. We know that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Attack is inevitable. So are you ready? Are you training and are you being prepared? Are you going to try to go it alone? Or are you going to use God's armor in your spiritual battles? Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.